Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. Very happy and blessed to be here with you today on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, I recently read some inspiring words from St. John Henry Newman that are good for all of us to keep in mind during these challenging times. This great priest, who spent the first half of his life as an Anglican and the second half as a Catholic, said, "Christianity has too often been in what appeared at the time to be fatal danger for us now to be frightened by yet another such test. The ways by which Providence ransoms and saves its elect are unforeseeable. At times, our enemy becomes a friend. At times, he is despoiled of the capacity for evil that made him fearsome. At times, he auto-destructs, or, without desiring it, produces beneficial effects and simply vanishes without leaving a trace. Generally, the Church does not have to do anything but persevere with peace and confidence in the fulfillment of its tasks, remain serene, and await salvation from God." Well, there's a lot of truth there to what St. John Henry Newman said. And his remarks lead me to think about the Blessed Virgin Mary as she stood on Mount Calvary, representing the Church. Full of sorrow and witnessing the greatest injustice of all times, the horrific and violent death of her son, the God-man, Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross, faithful to her duties to the last, with great peace and serenity, awaiting salvation from God. And this is something that every Christian is ultimately called to do in response to the crosses and evils that come into our lives. With foundational items like reality itself and sound reasoning thrown out the window by so many in society, with an increasingly number to be found even within the Church, there isn't a whole lot we can do but remain faithful to the truth, continue to proclaim it with joy and calmness, offer up our sorrows, prayers, and penances, and wait confidently for God to deliver us from the evil. Thanks be to God, we have the beautiful example and the prayers of our Heavenly Mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, to help us in these times. So let's pray together, invoking her intercession. O Mary, most sorrowful, who stood courageously by the cross on that terrible day that saw your Son violently beaten and crucified, help us to accept with love and patience all the crosses which God, in His merciful and perfect will, deigns to send us. May our crosses, borne with love for you and your Son, be fruitful for the work of our salvation and that of many other souls, as we unite them to the bitter pains of your beloved Son. Teach all of us, dear Mother, to always put ourselves aside and think only of the good of others. Teach us to hide our little pains and disappointments so that we may be the only one who suffers for them. O Mother most sorrowful, we also pray on behalf of all those souls who have never been taught the redemptive value and true meaning of suffering, especially those souls who turn to contraception and abortion in order to escape the perceived sufferings of raising a child. Help them to see that although there are challenges and hardships in bringing forth new life, these tribulations can be counted as nothing compared to the joy of bringing forth a unique and precious soul made in the image and likeness of God. Bring their hearts and minds to that sublime image of Calvary, where you stood beneath the cross of your Son, uniting your pains and sufferings with His in order to open up the gates of eternal life. May all mothers and fathers of unborn children be given the grace to respond with their own fiat to the gift of life. Our dearest Mother, we beg you to obtain for every soul a love of the cross and the spiritual insight needed to see our crosses as proof of God's love for us. Take pity on us who linger in this valley of tears, and give to us the patience and courage we need to suffer for the good of our own souls and those of others. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. This past Thursday, an Indiana judge declined to grant a last-minute request from the Indiana ACLU to stop the state's new abortion ban from taking effect. Owen County Judge Kelsey Hanlon, who is overseeing the case after two elected Democratic judges from Monroe County excused themselves, rejected the plea for a restraining order and has scheduled a hearing on the lawsuit for this coming Monday, September 19th. At that time, Hanlon will consider placing a preliminary injunction on the ban while it makes its way through the court system. If the injunction is granted, Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita will immediately appeal the ruling. Meanwhile, as long as the law is in effect, abortion facilities throughout the state will not be permitted to perform abortions, while those abortions allowed under very limited circumstances will have to be performed in hospitals or hospital surgical centers. Responding to the implementation of Indiana's new abortion law, Indiana Right to Life CEO Mike Fichter stated, "Today marks a new opportunity for all of us in Indiana to come together to show true love and compassion for pregnant mothers and their unborn babies. It's taken 50 years and the loss of over 500,000 lives to abortion in Indiana alone to finally arrive at this day. This historic moment is not about who wins and who loses, or about mere politics and court battles, but about a fresh new hope that a movement of the heart will unfold in Indiana that sets the pace for protecting life and providing the care and support pregnant mothers deserve," Fichter said. And a second lawsuit was recently filed in Marion County against Indiana's abortion ban. The Indiana ACLU filed the class action suit on behalf of Hoosier Jews for Choice and five women who claim that their religious beliefs are being violated by the ban. The suit claims that while some religions believe life begins at conception, not all agree. A mid-October hearing has been set for that suit. Finally, anticipating that they would not be able to legally perform abortions on Thursday, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood scheduled the killings instead for Wednesday, September 14th. A record number of 40 women came to 421 South College Avenue to take the lives of their unborn children either through a chemical or surgical abortion. The far majority of the women came from Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, Illinois, and Mississippi. Local pro-life advocates are hoping and praying that no injunctions will be placed on Indiana's new abortion law and that the killing will cease for good at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, we are witnessing a miracle. For the first time in decades, most abortions are now illegal in the state of Indiana. Senate enrolled Act 1, which bans abortions with limited exceptions in the state and requires those that are still permitted to be performed in a hospital or hospital surgical center, went into effect this past Thursday on the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. And that is incredible news, made possible by another miracle that occurred this past June, the overturning of Roe and Casey by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, we are far from being done with this battle, but we can clearly see that God is at work. And we need to be praying, especially this coming Monday, September 19th, the Feast of Our Lady of La Salette, because Owen County Judge Kelsey Hanlon will be hearing the lawsuit against Indiana's abortion ban that has been brought by abortion supporters. They are asking her to declare the law unconstitutional and to place an injunction on it so that the killing of the unborn may resume. Meanwhile, abortion supporters are doing all they can to galvanize their base and to work toward getting legislators elected who support abortion. Here locally, a so-called vigil to mourn Indiana's new abortion law was held outside of the Monroe County Courthouse on Wednesday evening, September 14th. Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton was present and spoke, as did State Senator Shelley Yoder and representatives from groups like the National Organization for Women, which called the bill racist, the Monroe County NAACP, and Hoosier Jews for Choice. Then, on the morning of September 15th, Mayor Hamilton announced his aggressive plan in response to the abortion law taking effect. The statement read, "Today, Indiana's dangerous and outrageous abortion law, SB 1, goes into effect unless and until stopped by a court or future legislative action. This law, passed by the extremist male-dominated General Assembly and signed by Governor Holcomb, means Hoosier women and those capable of pregnancy are not respected and protected as full and equal residents. Their fundamental rights have been violated and eliminated. As mayor of Bloomington and its 85,000 residents, tens of thousands of whom can become pregnant, I have called on the Bloomington City Council to join in dedicating $100,000 for grants to meet this emergency within our community. It is my hope these emergency grants will be made available as soon as possible within weeks to support local organizations responding to the reproductive health care crisis. I encourage other local institutions and governments to join in this effort. As an employer of more than 800, the City of Bloomington will continue to support abortion coverage in our health care plan and will now pay for employees and families to travel for needed care outlawed in our state. I continue to pledge to fight alongside our many partners supporting the rights and equality of Bloomington women and all families. So lots of prayers are needed for Mayor John Hamilton and his wife, Dawn Johnson, as well as the whole Bloomington community. And of course, we'll continue to keep you posted as things unfold over the next several months concerning Indiana's new near-total abortion ban. Well, the other day I came across a great piece written by a Canadian Catholic journalist named Kennedy Hall that gave me a lot of hope and was pertinent to the spiritual battle we are facing. It was entitled, Aslan is on the Move. Now, if you're a fan of C.S. Lewis and his writings, you'll know that Hall takes the title from Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, a series of seven fantasy novels that are replete with Christian imagery and which are basically an allegory for Christian salvation history. In the books, Aslan, the lion, is meant to be a figure of Jesus Christ. And there's a scene in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe when Mr. Beaver tells the four children who have ended up in Narnia, a land where it is always winter but never Christmas, and where danger lurks all around in the form of the evil White Witch and her army of wolves, that Aslan is on the move. Hall writes in his article that, "Here we are in a time where the powers of evil and the reach of the White Witch have extended to all corners of the realm. It seems as if our season is one that is ever winter and never Christmas. These are some of the darkest times in human history, this is to be sure. Other times have been more violent, although this is debatable considering the worldwide reality of abortion. But our time is darker still than those of the world wars and the collapse of civilizations," Hall writes. "I say this because our time is a time of unmitigated moral depravity. Our age is insane, our elites are out of their minds, and our world is in the proverbial handbasket on the way to hell. Yet optimistic I remain," Hall inscribes. Why? If God has allowed us to live in such a time and has allowed our society to descend into such a pit of stupidity and unreality, there must be a reason for it. For one, we probably deserve it. If there are worse sinners than I, then we deserve much worse. If we live in an age of moral depravity, it is because God expects moral clarity from His saints. If we live in an age where the culture views children and their innocence like sacrificial offerings to Moloch, then parents are called to respond and ensure they do not trust the culture and the system the way their parents did. In short, if God has allowed us to live in this age, then it is because He is raising up, as we speak, Christian heroes and heroism in Christians that is commensurate with the threats we face," Hall writes. Hall then goes on to say that he believes that if we are paying attention, we can already see the fruits of God's intervention taking place, particularly in the miraculous overturning of Roe v. Wade and in the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart that was made earlier this year by Pope Francis. Like Aslan, God is not tame, and there is a wildness to the manner in which God intervenes in our world, Hall writes. When He acts, He simply acts, and evil is left to pick up the pieces, dumbfounded and bewildered. None of this is to say that things are going to get easy or that our battles even approach an end. Nonetheless, it can be said that in this age of strange and absurd degradation, Aslan is on the move. Hall's article just reiterates what we've been saying here over the past few weeks. It really is quite miraculous that the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. I've talked to a good many people who never thought this event would happen in their lifetimes. And then we had the astounding passage of a state pro-life bill that bans nearly all abortions. Those involved directly with that effort insist it was the result of prayers, fasting, and of divine intervention because the spiritual struggle in getting it done was so strong. Yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is on the move, and this should give us great hope. But as Hall points out, we also have to be realistic. There is still much suffering and fighting ahead for us. Evil has not and will not take any of this lying down. But all we need to do is to persevere with great confidence because Jesus Christ and His Holy Mother are on the move, and evil will eventually crumble. If you've seen the great movie Joan of Arc, the one where Saint Joan is portrayed by Ingrid Bergman, you'll recall that great scene when Joan and the French army arrive at the Fort of Orléans, where Sir William Glassdale is commanding the English army. Joan calls out to Sir William, "Go back to your home, lest you perish in a lost cause." In turn, Glassdale belittles the saint and calls her a sorcerer, claiming that God is on his side. Joan weeps at the response, for she is thinking only of his eternal soul. But then she quickly rallies the French army and begins to mount an offense against him. Joan and her forces battle bravely and tirelessly, but an arrow from the enemy finds its mark in her shoulder, and she is compelled to take rest for a couple of hours. Awakening from the little respite, Joan hears the sound of a trumpet calling the French army to retreat. Quickly getting to her feet, she urges the troops to not withdraw, but to continue on. "Courage, men! Do not fall back. We must not give up." One of the French officers says, "But we've done all we can this day. Our men are exhausted." "The English are exhausted too," comes Joan's reply. "We need only go forward, and the Fort of Orléans is ours." "When my banner touches the wall, we shall have victory," Joan exclaims. And so the young peasant girl leads the French army back into battle, bone-tired and wearied as they were, to ultimately take possession of the fortress. By the way, the battle standard or flag that Joan carried had a picture of our Lord holding the world with two angels, one on either side. The names Jesus and Mary were also written on it. I know we are all feeling exhausted, too, in this great spiritual battle for life and purity. St. Joan of Arc's words should rouse us on, though. Courage, do not fall back. We need only go forward, and life is ours. The enemy of souls is stirring and energizing his troops, and so we must press forward to meet them. Last Friday, it was reported that Planned Parenthood leaders from 24 states gathered in Sacramento, California, to begin working on a nationwide strategy to regain and even increase access to abortion in light of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs. They met in California because that state, according to abortion supporters, has been very successful in passing some of the most robust abortion protections in the country. And in this coming November's election, there's a ballot initiative in the Golden State that, if voters approve it, and it's very, very likely they will, it will make the right to an abortion up to the moment of birth a constitutional right. At any rate, there were about 50 Planned Parenthood leaders who either gathered there in Sacramento or participated online to strategize and come up with a unified blueprint for how to protect the killing of the unborn across the country in the coming months. Not surprisingly, Nancy Pelosi, who hails from San Francisco, addressed the Planned Parenthood leaders in a video message saying, "We can only go so far through our inside maneuverings. We also need your outside mobilization to rally support at the grassroots level as you do so well." And Javier Becerra, the baptized Catholic U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, who previously served as California Attorney General, also tried to energize the group, saying, "Five Americans who happened to sit on the Supreme Court went and told 333 million Americans that we're going to rip away a right that you had." California has sadly been a flagship for the abortion movement, especially with baptized Catholic Governor Gavin Newsom at the helm. In the fall of 2021, Newsom formed the Future of Abortion Council, in which he brought together state officials and abortion rights groups to analyze the state's abortion laws, which were already quite generous. The advisory body came up with 45 new recommendations, which resulted in a package of 15 abortion bills, which passed the California legislature this year and which are expected to be signed by Newsom before the end of this month. Provisions include things like making abortion cheaper for women with private insurance, the creation of scholarships for students studying to perform abortions, allowing nurse practitioners to perform abortions, and shielding abortionists from out-of-state penalties for providing abortions. California lawmakers also approved $200 million in new spending that will help pay for abortions for women who can't afford them. And of course, they say for people who cannot afford them, as if men can have abortions. The funds will also help cover travel expenses for women who come to California from other states to have their unborn children killed. These are the types of things that Planned Parenthood and other abortion advocates are hoping to replicate in other states. Now, it's interesting to note that for yet another year, Planned Parenthood has seen a significant increase in the number of babies whose lives they have ended by abortion. In its newly released 2020-2021 fiscal year annual report, it shows that the abortion giant performed 383,460 abortions in 2020. That's nearly 30,000 more unborn children killed from the previous year. Doing the math, we quickly learned that Planned Parenthood killed 1,050 unborn babes every single day of the year, or that a baby was killed every 82 seconds, either through a chemical or surgical abortion. Meanwhile, this nonprofit abortion business brought in over $1.5 billion of income, with a record $633.4 million given in taxpayer dollars. And tellingly, those other services that Planned Parenthood says make up 97% of their business all saw declines over the previous year's figures. Planned Parenthood is helping fewer women with contraception, colposcopy procedures, pap tests, breast exams, and HIV testing. In fact, there was a decrease of 240,000 customers in 2020, a drop of 10% from previous figures. So abortions increased by over 8%, while total customers decreased by 10%. The number of cancer screenings Planned Parenthood did fell by over 30%. Well woman tests fell by 39%, STD testing fell by 17%, and pregnancy tests administered fell by over 14%. And all of this is not unique to their latest annual report. It's been a long-term trend of Planned Parenthood performing more and more abortions, receiving more and more taxpayer money, and yet providing fewer and fewer other services. In 20 years, the number of abortions performed by Planned Parenthood affiliates has increased by a whopping 80%. These statistics speak volumes. Planned Parenthood's business model is increasingly centered on abortion, and over the next few years, I believe we'll also see it focus on hormone therapy for transgenderism. They already claim to be the second largest provider in the country of hormone therapy for transgender individuals. A few minutes ago, I described the scene in the movie Joan of Arc and how the French army wanted to call it quits for the day because they were exhausted from the fighting and had endured many casualties. Joan's response was to encourage them to keep going by pointing out the fact that the English are exhausted too. Well, I can tell you that I see the fatigue and burnout in the employees there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. As Abby Johnson has noted so often, those who come to work at Planned Parenthood are there because they really want to help women, and they mistakenly think that by providing sex ed, contraception, STD testing, and so on, it will make for healthier bodies and better relationships. The employees are normally not there to primarily assist in abortions. So when abortions become a high priority for a particular affiliate, employees become disenchanted. Abortion takes a grave toll on them, spiritually and mentally. And again, I see this happening often as the turnover rate is so high. They become exhausted from the battle. Now, interestingly enough, at the beginning of this month, Planned Parenthood clinics across the Great Plains announced that they would temporarily close their doors for at least 1 week in order to allow overworked staff to unwind, look inward, and prepare for what's next. This included affiliates in Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas, and Oklahoma. The president of the Great Plains Planned Parenthood stated that the past year has been brutal for our staff. The never-ending push to do more, stay later, and sacrifice personal time and self-care isn't sustainable. Here in Bloomington, Thursdays, which are abortion days, have to be brutal for the staff, who begin to arrive around 8 a.m. and don't leave until sometimes after 7 p.m. I don't even think they have time for a break because the women stream in all day long. And of course, it had gotten so much worse for them since abortion was banned in Kentucky and Tennessee, and there had been a great surge in the number of women coming to Indiana. And obviously, it's tough on the abortionists themselves as they try to push through as many abortions as they can on a given day as quickly as they can. This often means the well-being and care of the women are compromised, as we have witnessed two ambulances called to the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in the past 5 weeks. Yeah, in those states bordering other states that have banned the killing of the unborn, they are seeing an influx of women coming from out of state to get an abortion. One abortion facility in Illinois told Axios that the share of clients coming from states other than Illinois and Missouri rose from 5% to 40% since the Dobbs decision back on June 24th, while the wait time to secure an abortion appointment went from 3 days to as much as 3 weeks. An abortionist in Denver, Colorado states that his office is being flooded with clients from Texas, which has increased the wait time up to 6 weeks. A Kansas abortion center called Trust Women says that it has seen abortion increase from 800 in the first 6 months of 2021 to over 1,300 in the first 6 months of this year because of the number of out-of-state women coming in. That's an astounding 162% increase in the number of babies killed this year over the same time period last year, just at this one Kansas abortion facility. Sadly, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood can top that. There has been a 174% increase of unborn children killed there at 421 South College Avenue so far this year over last year. From January through the end of August in 2021, 380 unborn children lost their lives by abortion at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. From January to August of this year, 2022, around 660 unborn babes have been exterminated there, most coming from out of state. The substantial increase in the violent bloodshed has got to be taking a heavy toll on the workers there. And I'm sure it is, because we've seen several days where, after a very busy Thursday, most of them are given some extended time off and not much goes on there. Abortion workers and supporters are exhausted too. Yet they keep going, and so must we. Courage, do not fall back. We need only go forward, and life is ours. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.